Welcome to a special edition of Radio Gorgeous Author of the Week. Today, Josephine and I welcome back to Radio Gorgeous Naomi E. Lloyd to talk about her sci-fi time travel fantasy romance, Release. And at the end of the podcast, we will be announcing details of an incredible competition to win a white gold turquoise pendant and signed copy of Naomi's book. We'll also hear from the designer of the pendant, Johan Lowe, who worked with Naomi on a very special piece of jewelry related to her book. Without further delay, welcome back to Radio Gorgeous, Naomi E. Lloyd.
Oh, hello. How are you?
Fantastic. Welcome back to Radio Gorgeous.
I think we need to introduce why you're on Radio Gorgeous in the first place.
That's right. I spoke to you a couple of years ago now, and that's when I was really deep into research for this book series and inadvertently become a little bit, I won't call myself an expert, but a certain interested person in diamonds, because diamonds play the central theme in my book series. I'm also a wedding photographer, so I think I was naturally drawn to the idea of diamonds. And the last time I spoke to you, I was talking about the journey that I've been on, meeting amazing diamond people around the world. And since then, I finally put together the first book, and embedded within this first love story is the diamond philosophy that's kind of grown from speaking to all these amazing people around the world about how our love journeys and our life journeys very much parallel the journeys of a diamond. And you know, it's a lot to do more than that, a lot more themes to it than that. But that's the reason we spoke last time, and here I am now.
And you have brought the series to life. I had the privilege of reading the second book in the series, of an early version of that.
Yes.
And I've now read Release. So I feel very privileged. I'm one of the very first. Tell us about how you've put that philosophy of diamonds into your series of books.
When you start writing, well, certainly my experience was that you just have this, well, me, it was a dream, like a lot of writers, and it does sound a bit corny, but it was a dream. I was on a sun lounge and I woke up and I was dreaming about the people with diamond eyes that were being ruled in this world where they were made from diamonds, but they weren't allowed. The only rule there was that you do not fall in love, that you preserve your own energy. Your internal personal fire is to be preserved. So you don't have love and connection and intimacy. You exchange your energy from a distance. And that was the overriding concept. And at the time, I didn't realise, well, I needed to understand more about diamonds. That just didn't occur to me. But it was just one sort of door opened and another door opened, including meeting you at one point, which was wonderful. And that's when I started to have this really strong sense of this journey that I was not entirely in control of, where I could imagine these characters that were being controlled by this world that wouldn't let them love, and just how powerful that energy would burn inside of them, and the misunderstanding of a controlled rule where you try and contain an energy which is ultimately going to, you know, burst. And then it's just taken me further on to that real love is a bit like being shaped by a diamond, that you will get the kinks along the way, and it will be sometimes a journey that shapes you in ways you're not expecting. But love against all odds is what I think most of us dream of and work towards. And it's the same when you talk to a brilliantier, a diamond polisher. It's exactly how they talk about finding the light inside of a diamond. And you know when somebody talks about their relationship, and I've heard it so many times when I've heard couples that come to me for wedding photography. Did I mention my wedding? I did mention that. I threw that one in there. There was a reason for that. And they talk about how, you know, I just feel like my life has now begun and I can finally shine. And honestly, people do say these things, and it's wonderful to hear. I've heard it in wedding speeches, and it's so beautiful, and it restores my faith in human beings every time. And I just wanted to make this love story something powerful about energies and about somebody finally understanding the light inside of you and bringing it to light. So, and ironically, the big film that's been out recently, certainly for me, the last year, is the Lady Gaga Bradley Cooper film. And you know, she thinks about that, doesn't she? About you found the light in me that I couldn't find. And I loved hearing that song because I was right in the middle of writing that similar theme myself. So.
And so the world that our protagonist, Teagle,
that's right.
Yeah, inhabits is called Tandro.
Tandro, yeah.
And she is forged of diamonds, and they all wear these Dorados.
Dorado neck pieces. That's the energy control center. You get given one when you reach of age, which is 18. And the idea of it, that once you receive your Dorado, you'll be able to exchange your energies. And this is your sexual energy and your desire from a distance. But the idea that by having this in a neck piece, you're in control and nobody can douse your fire. Nobody can dim your light, because your purpose on Tandro is to preserve your fire, which is your island, and the Dorado allows you to do this. So you don't get the complications of a love story, because you can just be your own island and you don't let anybody onto the island. You preserve your energies in that way. So,
and yet Teagle is different from everyone else. And yeah, she has dreams and is drawn
to what? She knows that she's different because she yearns for a connection, for love, and she feels that it's this whole control by their ruler, who's called Atla, is completely wrong. And even when she's teaching these younger what we call Kimberlings on the island, she hates it because she knows that she's been told to say something she doesn't believe in, and she has this ability to dream, prophesize. And in her most recent dream, that she's approaching her 18th birthday, when she will finally receive her Dorado, her neck piece that will allow her to release her desires, supposedly, she just keeps dreaming about this fair-haired boy who keeps flicking stones around a river. And every time she's taken on this dream, she's in this strange pink bubble, like energy bubble. And she just knows instinctively that he's different and he's from another world, and even from another time, by the clothes he wears and the trees around her. And she just believes somehow something's going to happen, and she doesn't know what and how, but she's going to find a way to get to him.
And yes, and it is a very romantic story.
And so is he from Earth then?
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Yes. She's in 2065 in Tandro, and the fairhead boy she dreamed about is from 1865 in South Africa.
Wow.
And there's a reason for South Africa.
Yes, but you have been, let's talk about that, because you, through this whole diamond journey, obviously South Africa is a big, important place for diamonds, but you've really been drawn to South Africa, and you even set your book there now.
Yeah.
You've gone there, and you went there to get your very own Dorado.
I did. I don't know if any of you have experienced this. There's a certain place on this planet that you've been to and you've gone, I just have a connection here. And when I was a student, I'd done a law degree, and we were being taught about South Africa and the post-apartheid period that they were going through, and I was just fascinated by the country, and I just had this need to go over there. So I went over there on my own.
And that was then?
Oh yeah, yeah. Mm. It was when I was 21.
Gosh.
And everybody told me not to go. I was crazy. What was I going to South Africa on my own for? But I did. I just had, and the minute I got to Cape Town, that I've been here before. I love this place. I don't know what it is. I'm a bit of a romantic girl, and I travelling on my own wasn't for me, and I found it a little bit hard, so I wasn't able to stay. I did my 3 months there and travelled, and then I came home, and I always felt this sort of, I didn't finish that journey. So strange enough, when I woke up all these years later happily married with children and running my photography business, I knew there was a connection with South Africa when I dreamt about these diamond-eyed people, even though I knew they weren't in South Africa, but there was something there. And then I was a bit naughty and booked plane tickets without telling my husband for me and him to go over there a couple of years ago, and we'd got engaged there, so we had been back there since. And that's when I met the designer of the Dorado neck piece, which I actually do have. I admit it's beautiful. I'm very lucky. It's now been designed, so it's on the book cover, and I can wear it. And
so did you give the designer the ideas? Did you, you know, fill him in?
Well, they have a very meet cute story about that.
Yes.
It's a sort of design meet cute.
It is. Yes. Oh, I love it. I love the way you're saying that.
So what's the name of the designer?
Johan Lowe of Uwe Kurte.
in South Africa, Cape Town.
In Cape Town.
And we will be speaking to him in a little bit, but please do tell us.
Well, I was quite bold and daring, and I just kept coming across his website about this fantastic jewellery designers in Cape Town, and I thought, I'm just going to be crazy here and just say, Could I pop by when I'm in Cape Town? And I sent him a little excerpt about the story, and I just want to design this neck piece. And amazingly, the head designer, Johan, he emailed me back and said, yes, it sounds intriguing. I don't know why he found it intriguing, because he'd never met me, but it's lovely of him. And he invited me in to meet him in Cape Town. And when I sat down to have a coffee with him, he said to me, I got up early this morning and I made a little sketch of the design of this dorado based on the excerpt he sent me. And he put this piece of paper in front of me, and it was the exact replica of the drawing I had in my handbag.
Spooky.
It was. And we couldn't believe it. And we've become really good friends. It's wonderful. Wow. And actually his wife, Anarita, is the most lovely, lovely lady. And they have this beautiful house at the foot of Table Mountain. And they invited my husband and my children and myself to stay with them. Wonderful. And they've been to stay with me and my husband in Portsmouth, because Johan loves the warship. So we've got HMS Warrior. And it was great, because being a wedding photographer, I could get, you know, access onto these ships where people get married there and show him around. So we've been able to do a bit of sharing, and it's just lovely. He's been so supportive of my journey, and the whole company has.
So because he got the vision of the necklace, and you got the vision. Do you think this could be something you've tuned into another world?
Yes, I hope so. We both like to think so, because what we've really talked a lot about is how jewelry can really express the person's personality. And I actually designed a little quiz that's on my website, so you can find out what colour your dorado would be, the diamond. Well, it might not be a diamond, because that's can be quite tricky. But another precious stone. So, for example, I always come out as pink, which is not surprising, because
is that pink diamond then?
I'd love it to be a pink sapphire diamond. I'll be honest with you, if you can see, the one I'm wearing is rather a. Now that, if that was a real pink diamond, would be. Yeah. I believe Oprah Winfrey does own pink diamonds as big as that, and there's certain people like that, but no.
So what's your stone?
This is a synthetic pink sapphire, okay. But it's beautifully cut.
So that means it was sort of made pink?
Does yes, that mean it's that's right. Been... But what's lovely about what Johan created for me here is, I love rose gold, so that was something that he managed to bring into the neck piece. But the big thing about it is that, he got really excited when we started talking about the idea of energies and colours and people and diamond, with he's using niobium. And then the if you can see around the collared part of my
this photograph, your necklace will be on the website if people want to have a look. Yes. Come to radiogorgeous.com. So what is that?
This is called niobium, and it's a very difficult metal to work with as a designer, but they managed to do it, and it took them quite a while, but it's wonderful. So when you put the niobium into water and charge it with electric current, it will change the colour of the metal. But it would depend how much energy you give to that particular process as to what kind of colour you're going to get at the end of it. Now, mine's come out with a pinky purple colour, yes, which is just what I wanted. Yeah. But say, for example, Donna was green or blue, then you could create a neck piece with a beautiful blue gemstone with a niobium blue, and you wouldn't necessarily have rose gold, you would have silver. So it would be reflective of you and your colours and your personality.
So do you believe that the metal gives out a sort of a vibe as well, an energy?
Well, I think it could do in a way, because of it's a bit like anything. It's been on a journey itself to transform into something to reach where it's ended up, which is in my case around my neck.
So have you inspired the designer to make these, you know, as he's going to make these for people to buy?
Yes, we would absolutely love that to be the case, because it's such a beautiful design, and everybody who's seen it has embraced that. So.
And there is a video of the making of your
we'll put that
Tandro
up.
Neck
Can
piece.
We put that up?
It's on the Uvacoda website, which we will link through our website. And it's incredible. It's incredible. I believe it was quite an ordeal to get amount of the niobium. But Johan will explain all of that to
us.
In the meantime, tell us, it seems like Tandro feels like a real place to you, and that you're writing almost from your dreams, like that you have a vision of this.
Yes, it does feel real to me now. As I've been writing, it's been influenced by, you know, my experiences of places I visited, whether it was India or Thailand, and I wanted to pick out all the pieces that would bring the best out of all the places that you visit on your journeys, and that's been absolutely wonderful. But yeah, I think I'm so happy when I'm getting the reviews that are coming in now. I love it when people say that they love the characters, and I absolutely love the reviewer who's just said it reminds them of Outlander versus meets Avatar, because that's exactly how I can picture things. And Tamdo is this beautiful place, a bit like you know, how we envisage Avatar. And of course, you've got this time travel lover man, so that's a wonderful description. But I love it when people say that when they're reading it, they can imagine being there, because it's a beautiful place. It's just the rules and what people are experiencing.
How do people beautiful. Have children if they can't connect?
Well, they've all... they or don't.
Have you got to read the book to find out?
Well, I have to say, that leads us nicely into our competition question.
Yes, it does. Actually, it really does. It does. Yeah. The people in the Tandroans, I would call them, are actually really children of diamond. So they're not made in the way that we make babies. They're made in these beautiful lagoons in the caves, and they're made from the carbon contributions of other Tandroans. So they compete in these jar matches every year. People who win the jar matches win the honour of contributing parts of their carbon with their baby teeth and their hair that will be planted in these lagoons, and they're fueled by the energy of diamonds to create these beautiful, these amazing beings that they all do have fantastic sensory abilities, and they do have diamond sparkling eyes that allow them to communicate with each other. So they're very human-esque, but they have different advanced abilities. Yeah.
But like us, they are all made of stardust.
Yes, exactly. So that was the reason behind that. Just the light diamonds and like us were all made of stardust, exactly.
I love Naomi's enthusiasm and positivity. She'll be back in a bit to tell us about the competition to win the white gold pendant. But first, let's hear from dashing jewellery designer Johan Lowe of Uwe Kurter Jewellers.
RadioGorgeous.com.
Welcome to Radio Gorgeous. Jewelry designer Johan Lowe.
It's a privilege to be interviewed by you, Donna.
You are one of the partners and jewelry designers for Uwe Kurter, which is an award-winning South African jeweler.
That's correct, yes. It's a family business, and I'm the younger brother. My sister and my brother-in-law started the business in 1968, so we are 51 years in business.
Fantastic. Almost the same age as me. I'm 1 year older.
Is that so?
So tell me, how did you get started in jewelry design?
Yes, for an Afrikaner, I think that was quite an unusual choice of career, but I'll quickly fill you in. I have been in a primary school where art was part of the curriculum for that 7 years of primary school. Actually, there were also a number of crafts as well that was included, like woodwork, bookbinding, and so forth. Funny enough, also something like environmental studies. So right from the start, I was involved in design, awareness of the environment, and so forth. Then in my secondary high school years, I started out taking art as a subject, but I gave that up later on in high school for more academic subjects, even though at the time I was becoming quite aware of my brother-in-law and sister's business. And I became more and more involved by doing school holidays, working in the company for pocket money. And that's how I became aware of the jewelry industry, and I became very interested in even in school days.
That's interesting. It sounds like you went to really a rather progressive school.
I did, yes. For those years in South Africa, which was a very conservative country, as you know, it was quite unusual, to have those subjects that I was privileged to be part of.
And so you became interested and sort of...
During my high school, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And familiar with it through the business. But did you go on to study jewellery design
Oh, yes, I did. I chose to study jewelry design. Well, actually, a four-year course in fine art, of which jewelry design was my main area of focus at Stellenbosch University. I studied under a very well-known international artist, Larry Scully, and then my master in the jewelry department was Dieter Dill, who was trained in Germany and a German. They were my tutors, my lecturers.
You know, you are a working artist, but at the same time, since it is a commercial business, you have to work with your clients and you have to work to their briefs as well. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. And that's what I love. My interaction with people is very important to me, not only in the business environment, but in my daily life with people. That's something that I rather enjoy, which is, of course, a blessing that you enjoy being with people. I think I can really listen to people. I found that one of the big things in life is to be able to listen to what people are saying, and sometimes even to listen to what they're not saying. So this helped me a great deal in my career as a designer and as a jewelry manufacturer, as a goldsmith. And another thing is not to have the creation, the piece that you're creating, too far removed from the client. It's better that you, the person that interviewed the client, got the brief from the client, makes the design yourself, and then create the piece yourself. That's great satisfaction for me as a goldsmith. And in all the cases, it led to successful interpretation of the client's brief. I just want to quickly state that at this stage of my career, I simply cannot do all pieces myself anymore. I have very, very talented goldsmiths. So there is a little bit of a step removed, unfortunately, but they're great. They understand me. We've been working together for many years. We're a good team.
Yeah. And in that way, their hands are an extension of your own.
Absolutely.
Well, and as I mentioned before, Uwe Kötte is an award-winning jeweler. And one commission in particular I'd like to talk about, because I think it is emblematic of that relationship you have with your clients. Nelson Mandela came to you for a commission.
Yes. 1995. The Queen visited South Africa, and I was asked to produce designs for a gift to the Queen. And I you have to do quite a lot of research. I've never met the Queen in my life. I think she's a fabulous person. I have huge admiration for the royal family. I don't know whether I should say that. I think they're very popular in the UK as well.
They are.
But I've always had a huge admiration for them. They're doing a sterling job. But I had to do research on the Queen. Luckily, before that, I visited the Tower, and I could see quite a lot of jewelry. But of course, there are many, many visuals of the Queen. And I noticed that she liked wearing brooches. So I decided that a brooch will be the way to go. I've designed a series of brooches, of which Nelson Mandela picked one. And I must say, I think that was the best design. The design itself was very, very symbolic of the time. That is probably the piece with the most important or best thought out symbolism of everything that I've designed in my life. For me, it had to symbolize a new dawn. Now, over a very unhappy era for many people in the country, but this new dawn to give new hope to the people. So the design itself consists of a sun rising over a horizon, and the sun comprised the colors of the new South African flag, they were all South African gemstones, which were specially cut to fit into that shape, a kind of a fan shape. It later on became known as the peacock brooch, but it was not at all what I intended at all, because peacocks aren't even indigenous in South Africa. And the foundation on which the sun rose was a series of mountains, which was exactly the way it was depicted on the 1 rand note at the time, South African 1 rand note, And below that was a line of diamonds, underlaid by a triangular colored shaped diamond. And this, for me, symbolized that what the new nation inherited is a very, very well-grounded economy, a strong industry, fantastic foundations on which we as a new nation then had the opportunity to build onto. So that was heavy, heavy symbolism for the brooch. And yes. Of course, you gotta explain it because, people look at it and they say, the peacock brooch. Well, I must say, it does look a bit like a peacock, but it's not intended to be like that at all. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. It took me many, many, many hours to complete. And in actual fact, it was completed just the day before the presentation.
It sounds to me like you took that huge responsibility. As you say, it was weighty with symbolism.
Yes. They say fools rush in where angels fear to tread. Now, I suppose at the time, I was young and 95, I was much younger than I am now. You didn't realize really, really, really the responsibility that you're taking on. I think if I would have realized it, I would have been too scared to do it. But I threw myself in heart and soul and researched and enthusiastically came up with designs and so on. And in the end, it was well received.
And now you can be proud as a peacock about it.
Totally, totally. Yes.
But that's
I am. I've got a replica in the shop, though, as well, with a little bit of a write-up.
Oh, nice. That brings me to Naomi Lloyd. She is a photographer herself, and she's an author. And she conceived of this series, the Tandro series. The first book is released.
Right.
And she came to you with also a commission request.
Look, as a business that has been around for many years, we have built up a very solid reputation. And with all the design awards that came our way over the years, I think we built up quite a profile as well. We trade internationally. And she wrote me an email and she said, would I be willing to entertain the idea of designing a central piece for her trilogy of books. I must say I was very taken by her idea of the books, and I thought, look, this is something that intrigues me. I can certainly work with this, and we had various discussions, and we just thought along the same lines, and I think since that moment we really deeply connected. We kind of seem to be, is that the right word, kindred spirits?
Yes.
Interested in kind of the same things. And from then on, I came up with inspired designs and inspired suggestions. The niobium, which I chose, was a metal that was, I was only vaguely aware of it. It's not a metal commonly known. But the interesting thing about this metal, and it's immediately when she talked to me about the colors of the auras, I thought, this is the ideal metal. It's a metal that actually reacts to outside stimuli. For instance, an electrical current of a certain strength will color it pink or purple or green or yellow or orange. And I thought, how appropriate. And then, so the niobium was a huge challenge to me. And she wouldn't tell you, but the damn thing ran over budget something horribly. So anyway, that didn't make a dent in the friendship though.
I was going to say, it certainly didn't. And I think Naomi would say, because her books are centralized around the idea of diamonds giving energy and making connections.
Yes.
And I think immediately you and Naomi made a diamond connection.
Totally. Naomi is as I am, also a very good listener. And she has such a explorative spirit. She likes to look at new things and learn about new things. And that's exactly the way I am as well.
There is a video on your website of the making of the Dorado necklace and the working with the niobium, which is fascinating. And that's where all your metallurgy, is put into play. But it also seemed to me like alchemy. There's something completely magic
is
coming out.
There is an element of alchemy. Yeah, no, this is not the thing is, if you work with metals, it's a science. But there's a big part alchemy to it as well. You know, it's an art workshop where you have to know a lot about your materials, but you're creating something, you know, and this quite often it's a try something now and see if it works kind of attitude that you have to have. You know, you have to be able to experiment a little bit. You know, we've always been open to any commissions, and I think it is definitely because of that spirit.
Well, then in turn, Naomi incorporated you in what she was doing, because in her book, the first book of the series, Release, the male protagonist is named Johannes, after you.
Yes, and my name is actually Johannes. I'm just shorting it to Johan. No, of course, that's for me is a great honor, and I absolutely love the idea. I'm waiting for my book. Naomi has promised me she's going to post it so that I can read the book. So yeah, that's exactly, she did what I did. I incorporated her vision and thoughts in my design, in our design, and she incorporated me in her literature.
Yes.
So I'm really looking forward to read the book.
Yes, and she also included your wife's name, Anarita.
Yes. Look, Naomi and the family, her family came to visit us, I think, on various occasions, and they stayed with us. In actual fact, we stayed with them in Portsmouth as well when we visited the UK. What a lovely stay it was. So they know that they've got a house in Cape Town, and look, they are much younger than we are, but we get along very well. They're such interesting, friendly, and great people.
More diamond connections are being made. Johan, thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous, and thank you for your contribution, to your ongoing contribution to Naomi's series and to the world through your beautiful jewelry.
Thank you so much, Donna. And I must say it was a great experience for me, and I really feel privileged to be interviewed on your radio station. Thank you very much.
The connection and friendship that has grown between Johan and his family and Naomi and hers is really quite extraordinary. And now we can announce the competition details. We have a competition in association with your book, which is fantastic. One person selected at random who answers this question will receive both a signed copy of your book as well as a white gold turquoise pendant designed by Uwe Koerte. It hangs on a silver chain. What is the question?
The question is, what is the name of the energy lagoon master in the book Release? He's a rather nice character. So.
Excellent. So the question again is, what is the name of the energy lagoon master in Naomi E. Lloyd's debut sci-fi fantasy time travel romance novel, Release? And again, one person will be selected at random who answers the question correctly. Please send your answer to info@radiogorgeous.com by January 15th at midnight. And all details can be found at www.radiogorgeous.com. And thank you, Naomi, and good luck with the rest of the series. How many more books are you planning?
At least four at the moment.
Wow.
At least four. I have a feeling.
What number is
this
one then? Two?
This is the one. Release is one. I'm currently working on two, which Donna has already read a little bit of. But it's
an early version.
An early version, yes. Which is actually primarily set in London in 2015. So, I'm about to go and deliver a copy of a book to Jo Malone. I don't think she's going to be in today, but her PA said I can pop by, because I did credit her at the back of my book, because I photographed her a couple of years ago, and she was a huge inspiration on the amazing sensory and sense powers that they have in my books. I wanted to just leave a copy for her. And whilst I'm there, there's certain locations I want to spot out for where my characters are going to be roaming around in this book. So that's quite nice as well.
Fantastic. Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Naomi. Good luck, everyone, on the competition. It is a beautiful pendant. Please look on our website to see it. And for more sparkling women, go to www.radiogorgeous.com.
Radiogorgeous.com.
So to win the stunning white gold turquoise pendant on a silver chain and a signed copy of Release, please answer the following question. What is the name of the Energy Lagoon Master in Naomi E. Lloyd's debut sci-fi fantasy, Release? Please send all of your entries to info@radiogorgeous.com by midnight on January 15th of 2020. For all competition details, please go to www.radiogorgeous.com.